Coming up on TMS, Deadpool claimed another victim.
Florida man really went for it this time.
Bush is a dingus.
Wolverine going hard R next time.
Ryan Reynolds punking Hugh Jackman.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Back in my day, I had my own nipples.
A delicious part of your nutritious breakfast. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. My favorite song to use in the morning because the chat room goes crazy and starts typing out the letters TMS over and over, which I think is wonderful. Right.
It's like everything scrolls so fast.
Yeah. Don't change, you weirdos. Never change. It's Wednesday, and it's the 17th of the fine month of February, and it's 2016. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Abbott. Hi, Brian.
Well, hello.
Listen, you sound real good. I sound real good. Let's together sound great for a podcast. Let's come into the ears of our listeners and let them know what's up.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yep. No expectations, no pressure. Just here we are doing what we do.
Sounds good.
It is Wednesday, and I have a sad tale to tell. You ready for this?
I'm ready for this. I even have artwork ready for this.
Oh, good, because I better turn that on. Hold on, I have that.
Turn
off.
It on.
I'm turning it on now. Okay, it's still Faith No More, but I'm sure it'll be awesome when you get
it'll be
done.
Awesome when I click this replace button.
So, by the way, I will mention this just briefly. I got an email from somebody who's an awesome listener, totally cool dude, had a very, very nice things to say to us.
Sounds like there's a butt coming.
Well, there is a butt coming. He said, but I watched the show for the first time live or something to that effect. And he said, and he's seeing it now with our new setup and everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he says, I think if I'd have seen it this way, I would have been turned off and never come back. And I said, and meaning really? That he's a huge diehard fan, but this would have done that for him. And it got me to thinking, I think I know what's going on here. It's a psychological thing that he may or may not be aware of. I don't know. But it's like any time, in my opinion, this is just coming from me purely, everybody, okay? But in my opinion, this happens when you are a fan of a thing that is purely an audio sort of radio experience for you, no matter what it is, some NPR show, some Howard Stern thing, some whatever it may be. And right. Then that first time you see the faces of the guys you've been listening to for sometimes years, and it doesn't exactly match up with what you had in your head,
sure.
I think it throws you out. I think it makes you go, oh, this is different.
That's what these guys look like.
Yeah. Right. Now, if you're a regular live listener, it just makes no difference to you. It's just what it is. But that's what I think is going on there.
Well, so he didn't say specifically what it was about the video that he didn't like?
He, not really, just that it was, well-produced, basically. Didn't,
really?
He likes that he liked the idea that you and I are way casual, that none of this is scripted, which is all true.
Right.
Like zero, nothing. I mean,
we have
an outline. That's it, man.
Yeah, and I don't look at that outline until like the previous story is just about to end. I'm like, oh, I better find a picture of Marty Feldman quick for the next story.
Right, and we Marty Feldman. I love that came out of nowhere. But my whole love of the show is partly due to that. Like, what I wanted to create here was a place where you and I could just riff on it as it happened, and have very little in the way of anchoring it to anything. You know, hard and unmovable. I want to be able to freely, liquidly, that's not a word. What's the word I'm looking for? Not liquidly. Fluidly. Thank you. I knew there was some liquid in there somewhere.
There was moisture involved.
Yeah,
somehow.
There was some moisture in there and somehow. And that's been the goal the whole time. So I think what happens is somebody sees this and sees that we've got some other bells and whistles and they go, oh, well, it doesn't quite match the, you know, garage band kind of thing that we think you're doing. So I don't know. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I got that vibe, and he was otherwise extremely nice and loves the show. And what a cool dude. He was super cool, but it was an interesting thought that came up this morning. Anyway, I got a story to tell, and I'm an idiot. I am an idiot and I feel bad.
Okay.
So yesterday, the irony was what I was taking a photo of is when I noticed it. But yesterday, and I told you about this via text, but I was out walking the dog. She took two giant dumps outside. Great, you know. Got to pick those up with a big hand glove bag thing and take it to a thing.
Stick your hand in the bag.
Yeah.
Poop. today.
And it was like, it was like 56 degrees, so it was kind of nice out, warm-ish, you know, for the time of year anyway. And the snow's melting and all that. And I happened to notice, and she's so excited, dude. She just can't wait to be out on walks again that aren't in the freezing cold, so she's so jazzed. And I noticed this chunk of grass that looks like, you know, something out of a horror movie. It just looks like, I don't even know what to even say about it. It looks like cracked earth, but it's grass. Right. And it's got all these like twists and turns in it and stuff. And everybody since I put it on Twitter and Instagram have come back saying, "Yeah, you got a vole problem." And I went, "Oh, okay, it makes sense. These were close to the vole surface tunnels. Voles that were doing this during the snow or something." Mm-hmm. And they didn't realize that they thought they had more earth on top of them, but really it was a giant pile of snow.
we don't know how close we are to the surface. How about right here? Good, perfect.
That sounds good. I love that they're all a little bit Norwegian.
Yeah, well, they're voles. Yeah,
yeah, we're voles. We live in the snow. Anyway,
they're not
going to
be, you know, what are they Argentinian. Come on, I mean.
Although that's an interesting story as well. Anyway, so I see this thing. I take a photo of it. And I look down at the photo to check it out. And the sun is hitting my phone in just such a way that I suddenly realize, oh my gosh, my phone has a giant crack in it. Mm. And then I look a little closer. I'm like, no. It's got like multiple cracks. No, wait. They are all coming from this thing at the top, near the top right corner. That looks like an impact spot where the meteor and freaking Deep Impact hit it.
Where the bullet got deflected.
Exactly. And then it's all like shattered down from there.
Shattered out from there, yeah.
It's horrendous.
Oh.
Now, it's not the worst I've seen. I've seen plenty of people with like that full-on shatter, how do you even look at the screen kind of problem.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yet somehow they work. I don't know how they still work after that. But so it's not nearly quite that bad. But for the life of me, I couldn't remember when I did it. Did it happen just now when I pulled it out? Did it happen on my way over here? Did it smack against my considerable muscly leg and crack that way?
Did you put it in your pocket with your car keys?
I might have put it in with my car keys, but I didn't have car keys. I didn't have anything. I had nothing, and I thought, well, is it the headphone jack? Did I whack it against it or something? Like, what happened here? And so I had to retrace my steps, and I realized it was just subtle enough that I wouldn't necessarily see it if I'm not paying attention, right? I'm looking at the screen a lot. Oh, there's a notification. And when you're looking at the screen, you don't notice it.
Right.
It's only when it's...
By the way, people, here's people in the chat room. The photo that I put up in Google Image or in the video is not Scott's phone. He'd notice these cracks immediately.
Yeah. In fact, where is my phone? I'm going to hold it up to the screen. You guys can see it. In fact, you may not even be able to see it very well. I don't know. But you can kind of see right... Let's see. Right... Oh, that's a smear. That's not...
This just in, Scott's got crack in his pants.
See it? There's a crack there, and a crack on this side, and it's right up. Ah, this is lousy at seeing it. You can't see it on the video, because it's in the white part of the phone, so it's really hard to see it. But anyway, so it isn't even that bad. Like, I could live with this for the duration of the phone, Brian. I really could.
Sure.
But here's the truth. I can't live with this for the duration of the phone. I gotta go freaking get it fixed. I can't stand it. I can't stand looking at it.
But wait, the 7, they're going to announce the 7 XS Plus E.
Well, yeah, I get one of those every year. But the question is, do I spend an extra $100 between now and then to get a new screen? I don't know. I'm torn on this. But anyway, so I noticed this and I start to backtrack. It happened at the movie theater. That's what it was. I was in the middle of the freaking movie there, the Deadpool.
Deadpool, right.
And I got my phone kind of, I guess, just hanging out of my jacket pocket. I'm wearing my Overwatch jacket to remind everyone that I'm playing Overwatch and they're not.
Thanks
anyway,
for that.
Yeah, you betcha. And it's just barely sticking out. And about halfway through the movie, I have a good guffaw at something. Probably some sort of penis joke, right?
Probably. Yeah, yeah. I'd say that's almost a guaranteed.
Seems like it. So I kind of rock forward and back laughing and I hear this, "Crack back!"
Oh, so you actually remember the point of...
Yes, but I thought, because I picked it up and I thought I had landed on its back on the case... Mm-hmm. I have a case. So I thought, well, maybe it landed on that. I looked at it during the theater and I looked down at the screen. I'm like, I don't see anything. Okay, it's good. We're good. And I put it back in my pocket. Never worried about it again. Mm-hmm. But it's the only time I've dropped it since I owned it.
It landed on an errant unpopped kernel of popcorn. Oh, just so.
Oh, stupid popcorn. There's still a little butter there. But also keep in mind, I've not in all the years of owning a smartphone or cell phone of any kind. So this goes back to mid-90s when I had my first cell phone. I've never broken a screen on a cell phone. Not once. Not one chip, not one crack, not one anything, not even a hairline has ever happened until I'm sitting in the middle of the Ryan Reynolds mega hit, Deadpool.
Right.
So I feel bad for me out there, everyone. I wish Tim Cook's letter was had a PS. I wish it was like, we are not going to bow to government pressure to open up security holes that shouldn't be. P.S. Scott Johnson, just come on in. We'll get you a new phone.
And while you're here, come look at our products.
Products. We've got many new products to show you today.
We're about a month away from Tim Cook using saying that stuff.
Yeah, he's going to get and talk about whatever new products they've got. Probably a new watch is my thinking.
Apple Watch
generation.
Pro, which will be the size of your forearm.
Looking forward to that. That'll be good.
Apple iPad Pro Mini, which will be the size of an iPad Air.
Yeah, which is actually true. They're talking about the Air 3 will be have the sensor and the Apple Pencil compatibility. Basically, right. It'll be an iPad Pro Mini.
Yeah,
which is really funny. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because I like when he says products.
Anyway. Hey, I want to throw a shout out to a listener that I'm a huge fan of.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Justin Anderson.
Oh, Mr. Anderson. Got it.
Mr. Anderson. So he knows that I'm a big fan of MODOK, right? Like, right over here.
You got a MODOK right there?
I don't drink out of it, but I've got a MODOK ceramic mug.
Oh, look at that.
And I've got a MODOK model, like a resin model over there.
Was there ever a character more suited to be a mug than MODOK?
Yeah, well, he's perfect. It's like, there really wasn't. This is so true. Yeah. He was in his local Meijer store. We don't have those here in Colorado. Meijer. Noticed that these things that they were selling Disney had put out a while ago. So they've got the whole, the Disney Infinity game that we talked about, how I really like those figures, really cool kind of caricaturized versions of Marvel characters. Well, next to those, there was another game, a failed game that Disney came out with last year. And it failed quickly, apparently. It was called Playmation. And you could pretend you were Iron Man and stick a repulsor ray on your arm and shoot little plastic figures. It didn't require a video game. It didn't require Xbox or PlayStation or anything.
All right.
And they had, and basically you'd shoot at these things on this base and it would be like laser tag. It would sense that you shot it. And I think it would just bounce it off the base or something like that. This is all purely just based on what I'm seeing from the back of the box.
All right. I hadn't even heard of this.
No, and it came and went fairly quickly.
Yeah.
He sent me a little MODOK from that game. I don't know why MODOK is gray in this because he's supposed to be flesh-toned. I also don't know why they made him bald because he's supposed to have...
He has a bunch of hair, yeah.
He has a really crappy bowl cut. Jack Kirby gave him a really lame hairdo, so...
That's weird.
Might have to 3D print him a little toupee or something like that. But,
also, is that a fart on the bottom of him there coming out? No, or
that's him. That's his flying in his chair and shooting that little flame and smoke out of the bottom of his chair.
I want that to be MODOK diarrhea. That's what I want.
That to be. It's MODOK's ass blaster.
That's right.
He also threw in a few other ones: Black Widow, Iron Man, and the Vision.
Oh, look at that.
So
and that's
all cool.
from the same
series. Special savings, 90% off. You pay $1.50.
Wow, so, wow!
It actually cost him more to ship it than it did to buy it. So I actually sent him some PayPal money for the shipping. But
wow.
Yeah, super cool. And thank you very much, Dustin. These are awesome. And it almost makes me want to get the base set.
Yeah.
Like there's the starter set where you can actually play with this, but. But I don't really want to.
No.
Maybe if I see it in the store for $4.99 or something, I'll buy it. But it's like $50 right now.
You don't need to fill your shelves with failed games.
No, I really don't.
You've got too many actual good games that you're not even playing that are video related. So don't worry about that.
Right.
Very nice. That was super cool. Thanks, Dustin, for doing that.
Thanks, Dustin.
All right. What now? I know what now. Daryl.
What
time.
Now?
Daryl time.
Okay.
He's waiting in the wings. He's just off stage. Sitting there looking at us, going, please let it be a Star Trek question today, please. He has a theme for this, too, and it goes like this.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
All right, it is Stump a Daryl Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
By Paper Keg, a weekly comic book podcast. We do the show book club style, and we all read the same comic book and talk about it on the show. We pride ourselves on our audio quality, and any episode can be your first to try. Give us a try, won't you? It's called Paper Keg.
Nice. Daryl, are you there?
Oh, yes.
Good. It's good to hear your voice. It makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside for no reason I can explain. How you feeling today? Good day, good night, good all those things.
It's a good night. It's a good day. It's a good everything.
Can we real quickly... Well, let me do this first. One of the things we do for this segment now is we let listeners call in and make a determination as to whether Daryl will get a song right or wrong. And if they win, they get a prize. Or not a song, a question. Sorry. I'm thinking about the prize today.
I like this sing-along stuff. Yeah, maybe that is the next week.
That's not a bad idea. Let's continue to make this a more complicated segment than it used to be. I like that. We have someone on the line right now. Who's this?
Is it Cranky Pants?
Cranky Pants. I like the sound of that.
I'm in the temple.
Oh, okay, good man. You're in there today. Are you seeing us on video today?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
But I'm here because I know there's a delay, so I don't want to...
Oh, no, you're totally fine. It's all good. And you beat everybody, and I'm getting like 1,000 calls since you called. So
wow.
Congratulations. You got right in.
Thanks. Hello, Daryl, Brian, Scott.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello, Cranky Pants. May your pants ever be cranky. All right.
Is there an actual crank? Like, do you have to crank your pants up to get them started in the morning?
Oh, or? I hope not. No, I'm about Scott's age, so not yet. But
oh, okay. Yes.
Or is there a certain drug embedded in them?
Who knows? It's okay to be about Scott's age, because that's about Brian's age and not nearly Daryl's age, so feel good about yourself.
Okay.
Let's talk to Daryl real quick about a thing. And what was it? I was going to ask you, Daryl, about a thing. Gosh dang. Oh, I know what it is. Ironically, I just said, gosh dang it. Which is helpful for this conversation. So I've noticed lately, like two or three people in different situations have sworn in front of me, usually like playing a video game while we're streaming it or something, and then gone, oh, sorry, Scott, sorry. And I went, what are we sorry about? What are we doing here? Now, I have a question about this, and Daryl chimed in on Twitter and a few other people did too, but it never bothers me when someone swears around me. Ever. Maybe if I had my 5-year-old with me or something, that would bother me. But it doesn't bother me if somebody drops F-bombs or whatever they want to say. It doesn't has zero impact on me. It never has. So I don't know why people are worried if they swear in front of me. Can anyone explain that?
Yeah, we basically see you as a as Steve Rogers and always saying, language.
But I don't do that ever,
though.
That's
when you see you.
The only time I worry about it is for shows with clean tags. That's it. Like, that's the only thing. And, you know, as you know, Brian, well, maybe this is too inside baseball. Maybe I shouldn't say this. All right, let's just say that I'll say it this way.
Okay.
Let's say there's somebody in podcasting who has a serious sailor mouth, okay? I'm not going to say who.
Gosh,
but I know
who that could possibly be.
But I know who it is, and they are one of the sweariest, most like just in your face as you can get kind of people. But when they're on the air, it's all Cleansville from top to bottom, because you're trying to reach the broadest audience possible, and that means you're trying to get people who are offended by such things. So I guess the only difference between that and me is that I happen to not love words like the F-bomb just because I find them caustic and difficult for various reasons. They have nothing to do with me being prudish or anything like that. I just think it's kind of a mean word, so I don't say it a lot, ever really.
And I think it's the cheap way of trying to be funny.
Yeah, it can be.
A lot of people do that for humor, but I don't think it's that funny.
It can be. It can be lowest common denominator. I think if you use it strategically, it can be a very good comedy device.
I completely agree. There are times for it, and there are times not for it, and oftentimes people use it when it's not the time.
Right.
But so we're all in agreement on that. I just don't understand why everyone's so nervous and like eggshells around me. It's weird. Like I'm somebody's grandpa is going to be all offended.
Maybe they remember the ELR days.
Yeah, now that's something Daryl brought up, so that's what I wanted to get to with Daryl.
Why do you have to go so blue?
In the old ELR days, I was so worried about, because back then it seemed like real treachery if you broke from the clean tag thing, that you were going to be in trouble. Like your podcast might get marked as explicit, even though it isn't, and that would like suddenly turn off a bunch of listeners. So I was always worried about it.
And the FCC would fly in and steal you away.
Whatever the equivalent of, you know, the modern equivalent of that was. So what would happen is I would be on ELR and O would say something kind of, you know, obnoxious, and I'd go, ah, blah, 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 like that. So I kind of gained a reputation for that, but it wasn't because I gave a crap, because I really don't. To me, they're just words and whatever. I mean, some words mean things, and when people say certain words in certain ways, it means, you know, they're saying it for a reason. But I'm not here to, I don't care. I don't care if people F-bomb next. Ask Brian, he F-bombs to me sometimes, and I just go, yeah, right on. I don't go, totally. Oh, Brian, could you totally. Please... Brian, could you please keep it to a minimum?
The raunchiest stuff you guys would ever imagine between Scott and I in the in our chats.
Oh, my gosh.
F-bomb aplenty. And,
he says hoo-ha instead of vagina.
I was waiting for the F-bombs in Rocket League when he did play. That was...
Oh, that game, yeah. Plus, I drop more shits per second than... that sounds wrong. But I say that word more than anybody I know. But it's just... That's the one I like. That's the word that just comes out of me. And for someone else, it might be something else. I mean, you're never going to catch me in public using like the C word or the freaking using an F-bomb in some major derogatory way, because it's just not me. Doesn't mean I'm judging you. So say whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Daryl, next time I see you, you can tell me to F off and go up the river. That's totally fine. And I'll go right on, man. Woo. And we'll just be friends forever. All right. Let's get to your question. It is a nerd question. Whether or not you know it depends on a few things. And at the end of this question, and Daryl answering it, we will let Cranky Pants decide whether or not he's going to get it right or not.
Right. And if he gets it right, he wins his choice of any Andrew Allen track from any of the four albums.
All right. So any of the albums. Nice. Yep. Totally totally cool.
So,
free thing.
So if you miss the old Stump of Trek Nerd music, you can have it for free.
There you go. That's a good way to put it. All right, so here is your question, Daryl. The Daleks, you know what this is going to deal with.
Really, right off the bat.
Daleks, yeah. Whatever.
Daleks.
Is that how they say it? I don't watch the show. Daleks, I don't know. Yeah. All right, the Daleks.
I always used to call them Daleks because I thought Dalek was the same thing but with a British accent.
Oh, hello. Mm.
But I guess Dalek. It really is. It is Dalek.
Yeah. Yesterday, I was surprised to learn that Julius Caesar was not pronounced Julius Caesar. His name when he was ruling was pronounced Julius Caesar, something like that. Like some crazy pronunciation. It was like nothing like what we say now. So take that, world. Anyway, the Daleks are one of the most iconic science fiction villains of all time, which I still don't understand. But anyway, in what year did the episode The Daleks premiere introducing us to these said Daleks? Was it
1963.
Was it A? 1961, was it B, 1962, was it C, 1963, was it D, 1964? You seem to have jumped straight to...
fairly confident about
this. I'm not changing at all. If I know the answer, I'm just going to say it.
Okay. wow, this is not our usual thing. I don't know. Cranky Pants, do you feel like that's overconfidence, or do you think he's on it?
No, he seemed pretty fast on the draw there, so I'm going to go with what Daryl's going to say.
You're going to say
if this is wrong, my wife will kill me because she's really a big Doctor Who fan.
Oh, all right. Yeah, you don't want that. We can't have it.
I could be just being a butthead, and I could have no clue at all.
Yeah, that's true. Daryl's known for his buttheadedness occasionally. All right, well, you say 63, and since we don't have food to test... And I have only a piece of half-chewed gum here. I'm going to move that out of my way. I know. I don't know why I started it and then took it out of my mouth.
I think I still have half a hobby over here somewhere.
Yeah. Half a hoo-ha? What?
Half a hobby. Oh, what? A half a hobby.
What's a half a hobby? Oh, the hobbies
that we ate. The hobbies that we ate the other day.
How do you not finish the things we open?
Because I'm trying to not be such a fat pig.
But you have self-control that I don't have. I don't know how you have it. You have power I don't possess. I wish I could.
I don't
do that.
Want to put half hobby in my food diary on MyFitnessPal. Mm. I don't want to type in half a hobby.
Half a hobby. Plus, those things are hard to find because the scanner doesn't necessarily work. It's like Norwegian food.
Yeah, Norwegian food, it doesn't even pick up. I have to actually type in how much key calories and fit and carbohydrate. Manually type that crap in.
Do they have barcodes on them?
Yeah, they do.
And I wonder if they work.
I wonder if it would pick it up.
I'm curious, unless they use their own weird hieroglyphic thing.
It's just like our regular UPC codes here, so.
All right. Well, there you go. Good job, guys. Living by some standards. I like it. Mm-hmm. All right. Daryl says C, 1963. Cranky Pants says he thinks he's got it right. Why don't we ask the judges? Judges,
he's never let people down before, right?
Oh yeah, no. You listen.
Okay.
Things have gone real south before, but that's all right. Maybe this will be okay. Let's find out. Here's your deal.
Congratulations!
No,
you're a winner.
You're a winner of the song, and Daryl's a winner of the speed answering. That was really, really impressive.
Congratulations!
Yep. This episode premiered in 1963 and is the second serial of Doctor Who. Here are some clips of the Daleks. Here you go. Some of them right here.
Exterminate! Exterminate! Exterminate!
I'm pretty sure that's Mike.
That's Mike? Yeah, doing his...
It's also really loud. Voice. It's so loud. Let me try it again.
Exterminate! Exterminate!
Exterminate! Exterminated! Exterminated! Extermination! Extermination! Extermination!
That's just terrible. It's just shitty. Isn't it?
That's how it was back then.
Oh, my gosh.
It is funny. I mean, they're like the slow-moving zombies, you know? It's like, how are these guys a problem?
Yeah, they're like garbage cans with wheels or whatever is right. going on. All right, congratulations to Cranky Pants. You've won a song of your choice. Brian, we'll get with you on the chat room today.
I sure will, yeah. Just shoot me a private message in chat, and I will get you a link. Or actually, look over all the tracks available on either CD Baby or Amazon or whatever. Let me know which one you want, and I will send you a link.
That's awesome.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, no
thank
problem. You. Daryl,
congratulations.
Daryl, good job. I got one final question for you. Okay, here you go. Mm-hmm. According to this popular science article, Star Trek and NASA just issued a replicator challenge.
Yeah.
This runs through May 1st. Did you hear about this?
I did.
So, calling all Starfleet cadets, Star Trek and NASA want you to engineer the future of food in space.
Mm-hmm.
It is a replicator challenge. The challenge is officially announced at New York's Intrepid Air and Space Museum. The one on the retired aircraft carrier asks kids grades K through 12 to create 3D models of non-edible food-related items. That would be like knives, flatware, food storage, disposal devices, etc. These would be things astronauts would be able to 3D print in the year 2050. The grand prize winners of the junior and teenage categories will receive trips to New York City. New York City! To visit the Intrepid Air and Space Museum Starfleet Academy experience. Anyway, that's kind of cool. I like that stuff.
Really cool.
Yeah.
My only question is, why do they have to wait that long to print a cup?
I don't know. That seems crazy, right?
Yeah.
Well, good luck to them. I knew you'd probably know what was going on with that. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there at Trek Nerd or The Trek Nerd. You can also find him on his show, This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com, and That Grumpy Cast. Bye. All right, he's gone. And so is our other caller. Bye, everybody. Thanks, Cranky Pants. Thanks, Daryl.
Yeah, congrats to both of you. Both of you did a stellar job today.
Good job, everyone.
Two rights, and that does not make a wrong.
Ever. Now what? What do we have to do? Oh, we have news. Let's do news.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by...
Hello from All Roads Tavern, the only tavern in the multiverse where the only thing that can drown out the sound of our engines is the roar of the 20s. Rock it on by and listen to our role-play podcast where we warp to the jazzy side of space on the Star Swing. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever finer podcasts are hurled. Visit lithmage.com for details. That's lithmage, LITHMAGE.com. And remember, all roads lead to All Roads Tavern.
Oh, it's a lovely message.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Let's get into the news today. Florida man in the news. Florida man.
Of course, Florida man's in the news. Sure.
Well, according Why to this, wouldn't he be? He's died. Now, as all comic book characters go, he'll probably come back in a later issue.
we haven't seen the last of Florida man. No. Is what you're saying?
He'll be back. Florida man dies in a meth lab explosion after lighting his farts on fire.
Fantastic.
Hard to feel bad. Well, I guess if you know him, it's easy to feel bad. But when a guy's lighting his farts on fire in a meth lab. There's some humor there, and he dies. Even if he dies,
there's just parts of that that just seem wrong.
Yeah, from the get go,
all over the place.
Yeah, you shouldn't have the meth lab in the first place, and then don't be lighting anything in there, including your farts. A 37-year-old man is dead after his trailer home was destroyed in a meth lab explosion. Nice image.
When you do a search, by the way, on Google search for stuff like this, there is no shortage of lighting farts on fire photos.
Oh, there's a billion of them. This one's perfect because it looks like it's in the South somewhere. So
yeah,
good job.
I'm going to give you a better one, though, in a second. So.
For listeners at home, Brian is putting up photos of people lighting their farts on fire. Anyway, this guy was blown up in this thing caused by him lighting up blue angels to amuse his wife. That's what he called them. We called them blue darts here when I grew up.
Really? Yeah. I've never heard either of those terms. They've always just been called lighting your farts on fire.
Never heard of blue angel. Although blue angel sounds like, isn't that
those are the pilots that do the air shows.
Yeah. The Air Force air
show. Flying formation. Yeah.
Yeah. It's unfortunate to be calling your lighting farts blue angels.
A little disrespectful.
Yeah. But for us, it was blue darts. It's like, dude, do a blue dart. We'd say, and then a kid would try to. That one you just put up is horrifying. The man's wife was found lying naked on the couple's front yard, reportedly still laughing. Man, this is like a Breaking Bad episode. Like, what happened here?
And then she dropped an ATM on his head.
She says this. Here's a quote. A blue angel's when you put a lighter up to your butt and you fart on it, making it catch on fire. That's funny as shit, explains the man's wife.
They're doing it wrong then, apparently. You don't put a lighter up in there.
No, you're supposed to put it.
Just hold it in front of it.
Yeah, up near your butt. I don't think she's in her right mind.
Yeah, no.
She says, quote, normally we go to Del Taco because of their 59 cent tacos, but we made some extra cash this week and wanted to go to Chipotle. The farts you get from the, is this a real article?
This sounds like
I'm starting to wonder. Hold on. A fan sent this to me.
Captain Kipper is pointing us to a Snopes article.
What is the Valley Report? Is that a fake website? Woman bites off husband's ear for buying incorrect Valentine's Day present. Chris Christie eats entire GOP debate appetizer spread for himself. Yeah, this is fake.
Yeah, the Valley Report is put together by a guy named Dave Weasel, a Los Angeles-based comedian.
Yeah, he's a real hoot. I hate websites that don't tell you that they're parody. I hate it.
Yeah.
Hate it, because then people don't really know. Like, The Onion, we know. We know The Onion's fake.
Sure, it's a known quantity.
Right, but this isn't The Valley Report. Newsworthy news.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to some of these headlines. Woman flushes boyfriend's hamster for liking other woman's picture. What does that even mean?
Like Facebook.
Oh,
like
okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Rights to entire Limp Bizkit catalog sells at auction for $12. Like, this is dumb. Gosh dang it. Hey, listeners, send me articles you can verify, will you? Because that came from a fan. And I didn't vet it enough.
Right.
But it did give Brian an excuse to put fart photos up, so everything's fine. George Bush's brother Jeb is in the news.
Jeb?
Yeah,
do we figure it out? I think we've talked about this. Is that short for Jebediah?
Probably, but I don't know. I don't know. What else would it be short for?
Jebster.
The Jebster. Jebbers? Jebieber? I don't know. Republican candidate Jeb Bush made a campaign stop at a firearm manufacturer in Columbus, South Carolina on Tuesday, marked the occasion with a pithy tweet of a handgun that had his name engraved on it and a simple headline for it. And it went viral yesterday.
Yeah,
I was shocked it was real. I thought he got hacked. Honestly, I really did. The short tweet included the only word, America, period. Some would say the period is for emphasis, and a picture of a .45 caliber handgun engraved with his name, Governor Jeb Bush. Would have been too risky to put President Jeb Bush on there, wouldn't it?
Ooh, yeah.
Because he wouldn't. Not going to happen.
No.
But the manufacturer of the handgun shown in Bush's picture has a history of its own. While the company is known as FN America, it's actually a subsidiary of FN Herstal, a foreign corporation based in Belgium. So it's not even an American gun.
Right, and I love looking at that sign that looked like it was saying, F'n America.
Yeah, check it out. F'n America. Oh, yeah, F'n America, F'n America. Yeah. That's pretty good.
The tweets that came out after that were hilarious. Like, you know, basically it was people just taking pictures of other things or using other photos to say America.
Yep.
Like Spider-Man too fat to save Aunt May.
Yep.
Or
some were a little dark, like it'd be like, bunch of kids being hurried out of a school that just had a shooting and would say, geez. America.
Yeah.
Some were really funny, like
posted like pictures of Star Trek phasers or lightsabers.
Yeah, or the my favorite was the Nintendo zapper gun thing. That was pretty good.
Nice.
I guess I have this to say about it. it's either someone's got a hold of the Twitter account that isn't Jeb, and they just made a poor choice here, or he really does think that, well, maybe I can get back into this race if I just do this, like just do this, like obviously on the surface thing that will fire people up no matter which side they're on. I heard from, like, I don't know, 10 or 15 pro-gun people yesterday that they hate what he did because they think it's just pandering. Like pandering. Yeah, yeah, it's totally pandering to the lowest possible denominator there. Mm-hmm. And what, Bush, come on, man. You don't need to do stuff like that. Do something else. You know this is a hot button topic. You know you can't be this reductive. That's my problem. It isn't that there isn't an argument to be made. There isn't that there isn't a debate to be had. I totally get it. That's all fine. Let's have a conversation about gun control. All that stuff is a good thing to do. We need to talk about it. However, you're just being reductive. You're just like, look, America, gun, America. Like, you're as bad as somebody making fun of us.
Right. Right.
It's a joke. It sucked. And you're dumb. So don't do that.
Stop it.
Yeah. The company, by the way, his full name is Fabrique Nationale des Armes de Guerre.
Ooh.
Not a very American name.
Not effing America.
Yeah, not effing America. All right, what else? So Jury and I went into deep talk about this on the first episode or the pilot episode of what's it called? Hotline Monday.
Hotline Bling Monday.
Yes, that's the one. Hotline Miami Bling Monday. And there's a theory going around that everybody's going to go crazy trying to make rated R comic book movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not so sure about that. I think it's contextual. However, and we talked about this a bit yesterday, we did think that maybe Wolverine would take their cue from this and go, maybe we can get away with an R-rated Wolverine movie and take it a little further and take it a little more violent or whatever.
Right, right.
Well, looks like we were on to something. 20th Century Fox now aiming for an R-rated Wolverine movie sequel. It was inevitable. As James Gunn predicted, studios are going to be emboldened to go R-rated for some of their superhero projects moving forward following the smash success of Deadpool. And 20th Century Fox, studio behind Deadpool, evidently intends to take one of their most popular characters into grittier territory. Promotional catalog handed out by the studio at the Toy Fair in New York City this week revealed that the next untitled Wolverine movie, they should just call it Wolverine Untitled.
Wolverine, now we're R.
Yeah.
No more Roger Rabbit blades.
Yeah, forget it. Slated to be Hugh Jackman's last turn in the role will be rated R. So before they even have a title, they know what they want to rate this thing. They said the larger question is whether or not the movie needs to be. I think it would be fine. It's Wolverine. It's fine. Mm-hmm. You're already kind of holding back with him. Like, all the previous movies feel a little bit stunted because he's a guy with blades on his arms, his hands. He should be able to tear stuff up. And you kind of just show him ramming his fist into somebody's chest bloodlessly now.
Right, and the knives coming out the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's not going to be the funny side of R. It's going to be the side of R.
Yeah, it's going to be, did he just chop his head off with his with his bone blade things?
Yeah.
Anyway.
And since we've already done the Wolverine in Japan thing, which I think was such an iconic miniseries.
Yeah.
Frank Miller's Wolverine miniseries. I'm trying to figure out, like, what storyline they do for Wolverine that would benefit from an R treatment, a rated R treatment.
Well, you can't do Weapon X because that series.
He kind of already did that with Origins.
Yeah, with Origins and technically with X-Men 2 had a bunch of that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, and he's too old now to show young Wolverine, I think, anyway. You can't really have young Wolverine anymore getting the. Mm-hmm. Getting the bones all switched out or whatever.
Right.
And then technically, what was the last X-Men movie was all about him.
The first class, or not first class, Days of Future Past.
Yeah, that was all about him going back and
dealing
with that stuff. So I don't know. Maybe it's something just totally new. Maybe just let somebody write a new story. That'd be all right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Deadpool, I'm not as familiar with the Deadpool origin story as I maybe should be, but it didn't feel like that was a page per page thing. That felt all sort of new and.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, it was, I was trying to remember, I thought Deadpool went through the Weapon X origin as well.
Yeah, didn't he have that and then it went bad or something, went wrong?
That's what I thought, but I think I might be confusing because there have been so many there have been so many Weapon X characters, or Weapon 10, like Maverick and I'm trying to think of some of the other ones.
Who's the girl?
X-23?
Yeah.
The clone. She's like a Wolverine's clone.
Yeah. And then there was somebody with a bunch of long, pokey things.
Lady Deathstrike?
That might be it. She got really long, like, they were like long and tendril-like, and it came out of everywhere or something. I don't remember very well.
Okay, Lou says, yeah, he did. That's how he got his name, so.
All right.
Some of the Alpha Flight group was, No, that's not true, is it?
That can't be. Well, I know Alpha Flight has had run-ins with all that, but it's, I don't think they have origins there, do they?
Maybe that's the direction you go. Maybe you...
bringing the Canadian superheroes. That'd be great.
Right.
Oh, how's it going, eh?
I'm Puck, eh?
Hey, it's going pretty good, buddy. How's it going, guy?
Tom Cruise is Puck.
I like it.
Hey, watch me do some handstands.
Hey, check it out. Check it out. Hey, when this Ajax guy, though, that did it to him in this movie?
Yeah.
That's not a real dude, is it? We've never heard of him before.
There is an Ajax in the comics.
Oh, there is? Mm-hmm. Okay. Is his real name Francis?
I don't remember. But he does have the axes, I think, is his...
Oh, that's his thing?
His trademark, yeah.
My mother-in-law's name is Francis, and now that's all I can think about.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yep. That's all I'll say there. Ryan Reynolds. Speaking of Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
Deadpool.
Sure.
He has crashed Hugh Jackman's press junket.
Some rom-coms.
Oh, yeah. He's been in some rom-coms. He was naked in that one with, what's her name there from Speed? Can't think of her name.
Sandra Bullock. Sandra Bullock. The Proposal?
Yeah. Was that it? Yeah. Had, one of the Golden Girls in it.
Oh no! Don't get E. David Cross started.
Hold on.
Anytime you invoke the name of the Golden Girls, we get a flood of.
We get B. Arthur boobs. Right. I don't want that. I can't think of the name of that. But anyway, he crashed a Hugh Jackman press junket for this Eddie the Eagle movie that currently Hugh Jackman's promoting, which I think is kind of awesome. It's becoming increasingly difficult to differentiate between the actor Ryan Reynolds and the comic book character Wade Wilson. Director Tim Miller recently told People the Canadian was born to play Deadpool and he certainly has a point. I didn't know he was Canadian. Did you know that Ryan Reynolds is Canadian?
No, I did not know that.
It should be called One Guy, Another Guy Who's Canadian, and A Girl in a Pizza Place. I had no idea.
A Canadian guy, another guy, and a girl.
And an Italian pizza, yeah. With poutine. They have poutine there. Reynolds recently crashed a press junket for Hugh Jackman's latest film, Eddie the Eagle. What the hell is that anyway?
It's like the inspirational story of a British kid who wants to be a ski jumper.
Okay.
And he's nearsighted or he's clumsy or whatever. Basically, it's the Jamaican bobsled team movie with different actors and
oh Lord.
No, it's a true story. It's based on the 1988 Olympics.
Oh,
Calgary
okay.
Olympics.
All right.
I think 88.
I just realized that my green screen is all jacked up in the back. I'll fix it during this song.
Oh, wow,
I don't know what I was thinking. Anyway, he showed up at this press junket and took a fake fan question from Brian Blaynolds in Vancouver, who asked, "I heard that on the X-Men Wolverine, you had specifically designed lifts or put into your shoes so you would appear taller than one of your co-stars. Is this true or just a silly fact?" Jackman said it was indeed true. Even after raking in $130 million over the weekend, Reynolds still won't let go. During the interview, the two stars also referenced their People's Sexiest Man Alive titles, which they both won. I'll just say this without spoiling it. There's a really great reference to that in the movie.
Oh, yeah. A couple of them.
Yeah.
And it's said that Ryan Reynolds doesn't even know the name of the movie that he was in with Hugh Jackman. It is called X-Men Origins: Wolverine. Worst press junket ever.
Yeah. Also, worst Wolverine movie ever.
No argument there.
That thing was poo.
Yeah.
Although I would pay good money for what must be a very rare action figure of Deadpool from that movie. Right. I would totally want to have that.
Yeah.
With the stupid shards in his chest and the zipped up face.
Sewed up mouth, yeah.
So dumb. How do you sew up the mouth of Deadpool?
It's like, yeah.
His one weapon, Brian.
That's right.
He's great at all this other stuff. But what is Deadpool? He is a talking, wisecracking dude. Number one on his plate is that he can talk the wisecracking.
Right.
You sew up his mouth, what have you done? You have stopped him from talking. That makes no sense.
Like saying, we've decided we're not going to make Nightcrawler German or blue. We're actually going to make him...
And he's not gonna poof around. He's just going
right.
to walk in the room and go, hello.
Exactly.
I'm Nightcrawler. I'm played by, what's his name? I can't think. Who played the other? What was another Nightcrawler movie that came out last year? But it was nothing about Nightcrawler.
It was Gyllenhaal. Jake
Gyllenhaal. Or was it his sister? Because I can never tell the
difference. Oh, yeah. Here it comes.
It might have been her. Could have been her.
Jeez.
All right. Break time. When we come back, it's time for Recommendals with Nicole. We got a fun theme today, so we'll get to that here in a minute. Tom will be here for Tom's Tech Time. Before all of that can happen, however, Brian must play a song.
Yes, well, Jason wrote in and said, my wife, Colleen, he goes by Kathris in the geek world. I can't say my wife without saying the Borat voice.
Yeah.
And I will be married for 7 years today, February 17th. We've been Frog Pants junkies for longer than that. I know she would be thrilled to hear a request for our special day. I'd like to request a cover of any song from the Marilyn Monroe movie, 7 Year Itch, if possible. If not, any song from the Collective Soul album of the same name. Thank you in advance and keep up the great work.
We can do that.
We can do that. So 7 Year Itch, this is the kind of the film that gave us that iconic image of Marilyn Monroe, where she's standing above the subway grade and subway goes by and the wind lifts up her dress and she's pushing it down. It's kind of like when you think of Marilyn Monroe, that's kind of one of the iconic poses you think of. And it was lampooned recently in the Snickers commercial.
Yeah.
With, crap. Why can't I remember his name?
Frank Darabont.
Okay. And this is where you steer me even further away from the tracks.
Sean Bean.
Sean Bean.
Terry right, Hatcher. Later. That's a lady. I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know.
That guy. Anyway.
Okay. Anyway.
So in that movie, Tom Mule is the guy who's suffering from the 7 year itch, married to his wife for 7 years, and kind of has this urge to, it's not Harvey Keitel, William Dafoe. Thank you.
William
Smaba.
Dafoe. That's it. That's
William
it.
Dafoe.
I knew that.
Osborne. Right. Yes.
Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe. Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Not William.
Yeah. Let Nicole mess like up actor names.
Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah. that's my favorite is Ralph Fiennes.
Ralph Fiennes. So yeah. Tom Mule plays the dude that is kind of obsessed with Marilyn Monroe, and a great movie. Like, if you haven't seen it, really, really good old movie and so much fun. The two of them in his apartment while his wife's away decide to play chopsticks. That's not a euphemism. They actually play it. They play it together on the piano, and it causes hilarity and hijinks, of course. So let's listen to a cover of said chopsticks. Everybody knows how to play this, but nobody plays it quite like Ferrante and Tecker. I believe that's how you pronounce their name. These are a couple of piano guys from the 1950s and 60s. They were jazz pianists, but they would... What are you doing? Just now saw the what you were doing in the green screen there.
I don't know what I was doing.
There are a couple of piano guys who really took classical pieces and twisted them around and made them really fun and really different, unusual stuff. If you haven't checked out any Ferrante and Tiger, they're really, really cool. This comes from their comes from their album Blast Off, which was reissued in 2010, remastered, and is a cover of Chopsticks called Chopstick Cha-Cha.
Thank you. How do we know Obama doesn't like Fred, Sam, or Paul?
Oh, shit, mister, where are you going?
You can't spell the morning stream without remonstrating. This is the morning stream.
And we're back, everybody. We're back. Lovely. Weird song.
Yeah.
Very strange.
They're fun. I mean, those guys, they, I put them in that same, same group as like, Enoch Light and all these other bands that did fun oldie, old style music to listen to in the background while you're working or whatever. It's kooky and goofy and retro and fun.
It's good background stuff. I could see that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm always looking for more of that in my life. All right. We're going to call Nicole Spagnuolo.
All right.
Spagnuolo.
It's from.
Do you? Because I might too. Hi. Before we talk to Nicole or do recommendals, we have on the line with us JJ.
What is going on?
Post-surgical JJ.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So how did it go, man?
Well, it went real well, man. It was a fun experience.
Yeah. Yeah, they put you under the knife. Always a good time to be on.
Yeah, I was told I was one of the favorite patients. And I also told my father-in-law I needed to scratch my penis, so.
Why? So, what's the context of that?
So apparently I was coming out of, from under the medication and stuff. And I was like, oh, my penis itches, but I can't scratch it because my father-in-law is here. And then Renee said I did like a bunch of shifting, and all of a sudden, I was like, oh, it's so much better now.
Wow. Yeah, I never say weird stuff when I'm under the influence.
That guy on Twitter lied.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what that's like.
And then I kept telling all the nurses that they were pretty, and I was like, I said, I probably should stop. I don't want you to think I'm flirting with you.
Oh,
you
know, yeah.
I'm pretty happy with my marriage.
Yeah. So how did your so everything went well though? Everything's good. You got like a weird band. So, can you hardly eat a thing now? Is that the deal?
So right now I don't have any saline in it, so it's just like a band around the top part of my stomach.
Yeah.
And I had my 2-week evaluation yesterday, and I got all the clearances, so I can pick up my kids now and all the other regular activities and start working out.
Yeah.
The good thing is that since the beginning of meeting with them and yesterday, I'm down 53 pounds. So,
wow.
Yeah. Well, so
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm actually in the mushy food stage now. I don't have to, drink everything. So
that's good.
So I just want to say thanks to everyone that, you know, asked how I was doing.
Yeah.
Sent some get well gifts and just the messages and stuff like that. It's exciting. So in probably about 4 weeks on March 15th, I go in for my first, they call it a fill. Mm-hmm. So I'll get like 0.4 cc's of saline in my band.
Yeah.
And that's when they start tighten things up and everything else. So
how do they get that in there?
I have a port.
Like a little USB connector?
PS2 port.
Yeah.
I won't pull up my shirt.
Like a little serial cable can go in there and
It has like a port. They jab a needle in there and they can put in saline and take it out. So
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's basically everyone no one punch me in my stomach, please.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't do that. Or put anything in his port while he's not looking.
You know what I'm saying? You know, knock me out of something like that, and it's like, oh man, let's fill it up real, real tight. It
seems like a bad idea. Well, JJ, I'm glad you're recovering. I'm glad it went well, and keep us informed, man. That's exciting stuff. May we all have a band around our stomach one day, Brian.
Port in our hope. Side.
All right, let's do this part of the show now. Check this out right here. Check it out right here. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. Nicole Spagnuolo on the line. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I am traumatized.
Oh, no. What happened?
I had to take Mateo in for an ENT visit. He had tubes put in his ear when he was like 18 months old.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them didn't fall out.
Oh.
So there was still one in. He had been complaining about a bubble in his ear. So I just took him in just to see if it needed to be cleaned or what's going on. New doctor, new insurance.
Yeah.
He was such an asshole.
Who the doctor was?
The doctor.
Oh, okay.
Did not tell me really what was going on and ended up ripping the tube out of his ear while we were there.
Oh, gosh.
And had I known that was what was happening, I would have prepared. I would have been ready to like hold him or do something. And it just was hard.
That is hard, man.
I'm on the verge of tears.
Well, don't do that. No. Where were the, I don't understand how those tubes work. Are they way up inside the ear canal? Is that the deal? Or where
they're just on the surface. Cause what was happening for Mateo, he was getting ear infection after ear infection.
Yeah.
And, he wasn't speaking at 18 months.
Yeah.
So we had at the time I had a much better insurance apparently and we found a great doctor and he was super nice and explained the whole thing and was calm and comforting to Mateo. And he put the tubes in and we haven't had any problems, for a long time. And, so went to a new doctor just to get reestablished and just make sure everything was okay with the one tube that was still in there. And yeah, he just kind of went in there and took it out. And I was like, what? Wait,
that hurts. I assume that hurts, right? Like,
imagine.
Good Lord.
Because think of a tube, like it's in your ear and it's a tiny little tube.
Yeah.
You can barely see it, but, is that normal? I don't know. Well, so plus now it's I'm been on Google in, plus it's going, been in there. Tubes removed.
Yeah, and it's in there for a long time. He had it since
18 months.
Yeah, so if it's been that long, he's kind of grown around the tube.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
And what sometimes happens is the tube then hits the eardrum and grows into the eardrum. Thankfully, according to this doctor, that didn't happen. It was just sitting on top of the eardrum. But here's the problem. The doctor, he might be the best damn doctor in the world.
Sure.
But his bedside manner was horrible, so now I second guess everything, and now I'm like, okay, what was the doctor that we went to first? I need to go back to
him. It's really important, right? Like that kind of stuff, people don't, you forget how important that stuff is until you're there and one of these things goes down and you're like, man,
just a little communication, that's all.
Just
I
a little I bit yeah I agree just,
you know agree. A little bit of kindness, like my son is crying hard and freaking out and he's like, get a control of your son. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Really?
Yeah, you need to you need to listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah, he needs to not let his bad golf game this morning affect the way he treats his patients later.
Like, wow.
I was a little off. I forgot about our
totally fine.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. My recommendal is not use the doctor Nicole went to. That's our today's recommendal.
That's a big recommendal, yes.
All right, well, let's do something fun then.
Parents that are probably going, yep, I've experienced that before.
Yeah, no, I trust me, a few doctor moments of my own. So good job. Best medical care in the world. We have a theme this week.
Yeah.
And it's it's not, it seems all very trivial now compared to a kid crying and nobody helping him in a room full of a doctor who should be helping. But anyway, the theme and genre of our film was the fate of the entire world, and our characters had to be a king, a queen, or a politician. And I am happy to report I didn't cheat this week.
Good.
Well, I did, because I didn't really...
I love it. You cheated on the week I didn't, but I did cheat in one tiny way, and that is that it's just not available on streaming anymore. It was and isn't now.
Don't you hate that when that happens?
I do hate that, but you can still get it, rent it from various streaming services and whatever. It's easy to get, but it's no longer streaming, which is unfortunate because I love this movie. But anyway, I'll get to mine in a minute. Let's start with Brian because that's the tradition.
That's what we do.
Any setup on this clip here?
Yeah, this is a 1991 film. It will be given away during the clip. You will have no secrets. It will be pretty dang obvious when they say the name of the main character. And I think even the name of the TV show this was based on. So,
right.
But the first voice you're going to hear is a person impersonating George W.H. Bush.
Oh.
So here's your presidential bit.
Okay, there's your president part. Here you go.
As we all know, this week we're celebrating Law Enforcement Week.
all across the country, so I'd like to turn the proceedings over to our own Washington, D.C. Police Commissioner, Captain Annabelle Brumford.
I would like now to introduce a most distinguished American. This week, he is being honored for his 1,000th drug dealer killed. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Lieutenant Frank Drebin of Police Squad.
In all honesty, the last two I backed over with my car. Luckily, they turned out to be drug dealers.
Oh my gosh, Naked Gun.
Yeah.
Is it which That's one right. is it? First one?
It's the second one, The second Smell one. Of Fear, which is streaming on Netflix.
I
saw that this was streaming, I was like, oh, all right, well, let's see how well these hold up. Holy crap, this thing, these hold up so well. There's a few referential things that are like kind of specific to the late 80s, Zsa Zsa Gabor mm-hmm. slapping a police officer, getting arrested for that back in the 80s, early 90s.
Sure.
And the whole Exxon Valdez thing, which is lampooned a lot during this one. But it's got Robert Goulet as the bad guy, which is funny because he was actually killed off in an episode of Police Squad. You know, they'd always have the beginning of the credits would always have and special guest star Robert Goulet or somebody. And it was them getting killed. So that was their only appearance.
Wow. That's I'm glad to hear it holds up. I wouldn't mind seeing it again. Was O.J. Simpson in this one or just the first one?
O.J. Simpson's in this one. Mm-hmm. And it's really weird seeing him. You know, there's a scene where he's assembling a really large gun during a gunfight. And it's just like, wow, that's so prescient.
Yeah, it's weird because it's not too many years before his thing.
No, this was 1991. So it was just a few years before all that.
Yeah, 2-3 years.
But, that said, it's amazing how well this movie holds up. And Leslie Nielsen is fantastic. Priscilla Presley, of course, in this one. It's great, and I miss the Zucker Brothers. I miss that thing they did in the 80s and 90s that they were spot on before they kind of, I don't know, lost their way.
Yeah.
Spy Hard was theirs, wasn't it?
I think so. Was it? It may have been one of the other ones that were kind of ripping that stuff off.
I think maybe actually looking at it now, it looks like it was one of the ones that was ripping things off, but...
I like Top Secret is where it got good for me, or where it stopped. That was a good one, and then after that, I don't really...
Oh, Top Secret was like the second one. It was right after Airplane.
Oh, was it? I thought it was later.
So it was Airplane in 1980, Top Secret 84, Ruthless People, Naked Gun in 88.
Isn't Top Secret streaming?
I bet it is. Kilmer.
That movie's great. That movie's
1991 great. 1991 was Naked Gun 2.5, then Hot Shots...
When was Airplane 2 in all this?
That one was not a Zucker Brothers.
What?
I thought it was, but apparently really? Airplane 2 was not.
I had no idea.
So Top Secret was streaming because I know I watched it on Netflix, but Spy Hard is streaming.
Spy Hard, and that one's like right.
Die
and that
Hard. And that one's not Zucker Brothers as well. Oh. At least not because it was David Zucker, Jerry Zucker, and Jim Abrams were the trio that did a lot of these things. And on their Wikipedia page, it lists all the movies that they worked together on. So maybe Airplane 2 was one of the three, but not.
Oh, Top Secret is streaming on Amazon Prime, not Netflix.
Totally worth seeing.
Yeah.
Totally worth seeing that. By the way, Jim Abrams, he kind of disappeared. J.J. Abrams.
Oh, crazy. Jay, Jim, there might be a connection there.
Isn't Abrams spelt differently, though?
I don't know.
Yes.
Probably is. So, and they're all
like Jim Abrahams.
They're also like 40 years apart.
Right, exactly.
All right. Excellent pick.
So go see it. You go watch it. It is really funny. And like I said, it's amazing how well it holds up.
All right. Here is mine. This is no longer streaming. It was, but you can now get it via rental anywhere. But,
cheater!
I'm going to cheat with that only. But the rest of it is totally to the theme. So here you go.
What is it?
On Sunday morning, one of our U-2s took these pictures. The Soviets are putting medium-range ballistic missiles into Cuba.
Morning, gentlemen.
Our cities in the southeast, as far north as Washington, D.C., are in range of these weapons, and in the event of a launch, we'll have only 5 minutes warning.
In those 5 minutes, they could kill 80 million Americans.
It was clear we cannot permit Soviet nuclear missiles in Cuba. We have to get those missiles out.
The Soviet understands only one language, action, respects only one word, force.
There you go. Pretty intense business there.
Yeah, I think it was the movie is called We Like to Bang on the Drum Really Loud While People Are Talking.
Well, it is a trailer, obviously. yeah, it's so for those who don't know, this is a 2000 film, 2001, I can't remember exactly, but it's it doesn't seem that old to me because I saw it in the theater and remembered loving it and thought it was newer than this, and I think it holds up. It is called 13 Days. And it was a Kevin Costner, Bruce Greenwood, Sean Driscoll movie.
Of course it's Kevin Costner.
Love me some Kevin Costner. It is a movie all about the Cuban Missile Crisis and the 13 days at which we just about went to war with them with nukes. It's a pretty harrowing story, no matter what angle you look at it, from a documentary perspective or just historical perspective. But something about it being in a drama like this made it even more real for me. It is really intense and really, really good. One interesting thing about it, I believe, so Bruce Greenwood plays President Kennedy, and he is dead on great in this. Really good in it.
He's awesome in everything.
He really is. And Sean Driscoll is his brother. Bobby is also excellent. The one character played by Costner is not, he is fictitious. He's sort of a not, this guy didn't exist in the story. But he's there to sort of carry it through and sort of be our eyes in it and all that. And I think it works really well, but I was a little disappointed to find out he wasn't an actual dude in the story. At least that's what I remember hearing about it. And I haven't actually followed up on this, but I think that was the deal. Anyway, I loved it. I thought it was awesome. Directed by Ronald Donaldson. It is, again, available for rental. And if you like a really good espionage, back and forth political struggle period piece thing set in the early 60s, then you can't go too wrong with it. It's very, very good. 13 Days, it's called.
13 Days.
Yeah. 13 Days. Love it. Love that movie. All right. And not just because Costner's in it, I promise. That's not the only reason. In fact, he uses a Massachusetts accent in it that is kind of ridiculous and over the top. It may take some out of the movie.
Oh, really?
I didn't mind it, but it was definitely weird to hear him going, "All right, now, you know, we've got to get to the bottom." He's like, he's got that whole thing going, which is very weird to hear Costner do that. All right, Nicole, your turn. What do you got?
So I have one. I have a movie that's streaming that only fits half of our criteria. And I have a movie that fits both criteria, but is not streaming. But I would say rent it because it's stupid fun movie.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll tell you the movie that isn't streaming right now that fits our criteria. It's called Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That kind of, the one based on that Mark Miller comic.
Right.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that movie. But there were times, like, I love how over the top it was. Like, when the heads explode, it's not blood and guts. It's like fireworks.
Right.
Loved that scene. it has Colin Firth in it.
Yeah. He's the King's Speech.
Yeah, he has Mark Hamill in it as well.
Oh, what's he doing in there? You know what? This is the one movie I haven't seen that I can't believe I haven't seen because it's like totally up my alley and I haven't seen it.
He plays a professor.
Okay.
Like some science guy. Yeah. That...
I forgot about that too. I saw this last year on the flight to Japan.
He has a beard. I mean, now you recognize him because Force Awakens. He was probably growing it for that. But it's a small part, but it's an important part of it. But I think, did you enjoy it, Brian? Cause there were times where I'm like, what am I watching? And
yeah, it's over the top and it's a hard R. I mean, there's,
yeah. Oh yes.
You know, gore aplenty, and some hard stuff to watch.
Yeah. Especially well, and then you have, what's his name? The bad guy. Is it Samuel L. Jackson?
Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah.
Right. I hated
his lisp.
I hated it. That I was like, if you just would have not done that, then
it's so over the top. Yeah.
And maybe that's why they did it, because he's supposed to be like the evil henchman. And right.
Well, and his henchman, his henchwoman. I mean, she's great. Oh, and those blades for the feet. Blades. Yeah.
Leg blades or whatever.
Yeah.
So, Scott, I think you would probably laugh.
I'll probably like it. I don't like Mark Miller's hit and miss for me. I really like his comics for the most part, and I like the work he did with Marvel specifically, but like I don't like Kick-Ass very much. That's also his. Mm-hmm. I find it just kind of mean-spirited, and I don't know why I didn't like that, whereas I love something like Deadpool, which is sort of in the same vein.
Well, and this takes technology, and because there it hits all three. There's kings, queens, and politicians in this, all world leaders. And Samuel L. Jackson is coming up with a plan basically to destroy most of the Earth's population.
And it's, you know, it's the state of the entire world. I love the spy stuff. I love that. He's his comics that he does independently are always very violent. And he did Unwanted or Wanted? Whatever it is.
Wanted.
The one they made the Angelina Jolie movie out of.
Yeah, Wanted.
I like most of what he does. I am absolutely sure this is one that I would like. I just don't know why I haven't seen it. It was like missed it in the theater. Then I thought, well, I'll get this on video. And then I just never got around to it. But you're saying that one's not streaming, right?
It's not streaming. But it's what, $5 to rent it?
Yeah, I'll just rent it.
It's I
was on HBO Now recently, so I mean, if you've got HBO
maybe
Now,
that's what I was. Is it on HBO Now?
Oh, maybe. It might be. Maybe it is.
I thought I saw it streaming somewhere. I just couldn't find it.
HBO Now. I can look right now. I'm logged in. It's.
You know what? I think you're right, Brian.
Yep.
I think it is on HBO.
Movies. You got Furious 7, Divergent, Taken 3. Boy, at some point, he's just a bad parent, isn't he? What else? That's it doesn't show, but I'm sure it's here somewhere.
You know what I'm watching on HBO now, right now?
What?
Right now? That I'm loving. Mm. Season 2 of The Leftovers.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Dude, Leftovers is great.
Yeah.
We loved every second of those seasons.
It's a little frustrating at first because you're like, what? It's too many questions and you're not answering any of them.
Yeah.
With the bird and the...
I cannot say enough about that show. I loved every second
and
of
Justin
it.
And Justin Theroux is fantastic. Chris Eccleston is fantastic.
Yeah, he's so good.
His girlfriend, she's really, really good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's way, way good.
That's what we're kind of obsessed with right now is season 2 of The Leftovers.
I never saw American Sniper either, and that's up there. I need to watch that. Mm. I keep hearing that's good, but also controversial, so...
Does HBO not have Kingsman?
They don't.
Okay, weird. I thought
they did. That may have been last month because they do their stuff like that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Kingsman. it's not there. Oh, no, it is. Thanks, Kingsman. Jackal. It's there. It's there. Oh, it's totally there.
That's what I thought. Okay, good.
Yep.
The Jackalope says, I believe you mean Justin Thorax. No, I don't mean Justin Thorax.
Yes, Justin Thorax. That's actually better.
That would be what I would say.
Anyway, all right. So I like that one as a non-rental. Oh, sorry. Now this is playing HBO Now.
I guess we're going to watch it.
All
right. Okay, cool.
Sorry. All right.
So here's the movie, and I have recommended this movie before, but it captures the fate of the entire world.
All right.
Part of our theme.
Okay.
No need to. Nothing. Forget it. It's fine.
Steve Carell.
There are no windows.
More windows. Got it.
See you next week, Mr. Dutch.
Okay. I regret my entire life.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye now.
Well, it's no longer just the Postal Service. Commercial airlines have discontinued altogether today. After much delay, the final flight, piloted by Delta Airlines, left Chicago midway at 3:45 Central Time, touching down in Seattle at 6:15 Pacific. Private charters have been given military clearance to use intercontinental airspace at their own risk.
You know, I know Brian knows.
I have no idea.
Looking for a friend at the end of the world.
Yeah. This is seeking a friend for the end of the world, which I've recommended this before. I'm recommending it again. It's streaming on Netflix. Steve Carell, Keira Knightley. Steve Carell, I mean, there's a meteor headed towards Earth.
Yeah.
And Steve Carell's character is kind of reflecting on his life, and he goes to seek out a high school sweetheart that was the girl that got away, basically. Okay. And his next door neighbor, Keira Knightley, comes along with him. And, you know, you always see these kind of end of the world movies where everything's like crazy. Chaos. This one's very calm and thought provoking. Everybody's kind of, and then they go to like a Bennigan's.
Uh-huh.
And you think, what would people do if they knew that it was going to end? Like, is it just looting everything? Is it, you know, you got this Bennigan's and everybody's just partying and doing drugs and having a great time.
Wow.
It's just like this one little piece of it. And then they'll go to, and so on their kind of trip, they're meeting all these different groups of people and how they're handling and how they're coping. Mm. And so they come across a group that's, they're considered survivalists. So they have a underground bunker and they're stockpiling, you know, everything. So you kind of, through the eyes of these two people that are, it's a love story of sorts. I mean, it is a love story. Mm-hmm. They're experiencing everyone else experiencing this end of the world thing that's happening. So
I meant to add it to the list or something and I didn't. So I just now did. And I totally want to see that. Sounds like a great movie.
It came out right around the same time as that Kirsten Dunst movie where the earth is hurtling towards the sun or something. The sun is growing and.
Macalena or Macarena. I don't know what the
Macala,
hell.
Macarena. That's it.
Macarena.
Yes.
Oh, Macarena.
Melancholia. That's it. Yep.
Oh, Melancholia.
Yes, which was really depressing and boring. Yeah.
Well, there you go then.
And by the way, people, Bennigan's is a restaurant that used to be around. And yeah.
They did.
Bottomless chimichangas and steak fries.
What was
the
name?
Do they not have Bennigan's anymore?
No, they're gone. What was the name of the thing that they made? Oh, the Monte Cristo.
Monte Cristo sandwich was brilliant.
So good.
So deep fried and horrible for you.
Oh,
but,
yeah. I'm still digesting one from 20 years ago. yeah, no, they're gone. I wish they weren't gone. I liked them.
I thought they were still around.
No, there's somebody may have bought them out and may have kept a couple alive. I don't know. That's possible, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But like, remember what's there's another one called that was always at a hotel or near a hotel called Shoney's.
Yeah.
Shoney's still around.
Shoney's are still around. I think. I like TVZ Gone says that there are still about 20 Bennigan's around the country.
Oh, are there?
Maybe.
Way less than there used to be though.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to have a bunch.
Maybe Nick Cannon saved those too.
Nick Cannon, saving the world one restaurant at a time. all right. Well, Nicole, always fun, always good. What's our theme for next week?
Let's get the game out. Let's see. How about,
careful coffee.
So we did themes and genre and character. How about a setting?
Okay. I like it.
We already did that one. The South.
Yes.
And what about a prop? Want to do a prop?
Sure.
A cup, a knife, or some glasses?
Wow.
Knife. Okay.
So how are we ever going to find a movie takes place in the South where somebody eats something?
Yeah, the South of all places, Brian. No one eats in the South.
Right.
Or has glasses on. No, this will be good. This will be nice and easy. So, come on back for that. And when we say the South, we mean the American South, right? Like Southland of these United States, not like, you know, the pole.
Mexico.
Yeah. We can't cheat on this one. All right. Sounds good to me. It's Nicole Spag on Twitter, everybody. Follow her there. She's Nicole. And
we
hope that your doctor isn't a douche next time you see him.
Yeah, me too.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right. Brian?
By the way, La Quinta is Spanish for next to Shoney's.
It may as well be, for real. Like it's such a thing you will see every time you see one.
Yeah,
I haven't been to a La Quinta Inn in a long time.
La Quinta.
Isn't there someone has a stand-up about that or something? Isn't there some joke about La Quinta Inns?
Oh, I don't know if there is.
Someone somewhere can confirm or deny this. There's like some comedian that does a bit.
probably is where that joke came from, because I remember a coworker of mine used to say that. It's like, oh yeah, you know what La Quinta is Spanish for, and it's anyway, it says next to Shoney's.
Oh, there you have it.
And maybe he stole it from that comedian.
That sounds right to me. I don't see Tom on, nor is he answering anything, so maybe he's the one that's not here today.
Huh. Okay.
Crapo. Well,
why did I see, and that sounds familiar, like we were saying we weren't going to have Tom this week earlier this week, like he was.
That does sound familiar to me.
Yeah.
Is there something
when we were talking
going on
to
this
Veronica,
morning?
Was he, was but he was sick or something.
He was sick, but that was last week. I don't know.
Well, I missed
I've
Tom.
Called him. He may add to the call if he does. Great. Let's jump to these emails, though, that are brought to us by
Nerd Punch and their very first ever 24-hour live stream for Extra Life. Nerd Punch is a group of 30-something-year-old family men embarking on our first-ever charity event. On February 20th, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern, we're going to be gaming on twitch.tv/nerdpunch for the Extra Life charity for 24 hours straight. We're having prize drawings every hour for Steam codes and games. For more information, follow us on Twitter @NerdPunch or email us at nerdpunch@gmail.com. Again, that's February 20th, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/nerdpunch.
Nerd Punch. Gentlemen, says Rob Bellamy. Not to be confused with Ron Jeremy or
Bill Bellamy.
Bill Bellamy, yeah. That is not a movie I want to see.
Please don't confuse him with either of those people.
He says, gentlemen, as I recall, you both, or maybe just Scott, is a Stephen King fan. I think we both are, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, I think me not so much as you. I think you're very much a Stephen King fan. I'm like a cautious Stephen King fan.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And I've read almost every book he's ever written, so I guess that makes me a big one. But I just watched the first episode of 11/22/63 with James Franco. And so far, this is awesome. Is it because you watched it with James Franco, or James Franco was in it?
Right. Hey, pass the doobie back over here, James. This is a really good show, man.
I was going to watch this last night on the treadmill, and I didn't get around to getting on the treadmill, so it didn't work out. But anyway, I don't get to listen to the show regularly, so please pardon this intrusion if you've already discussed this 8-episode event. We have kind of talked about it, but we haven't gotten a lot of people's reactions, so that's why I'm reading this email.
Get some reviews, yeah.
He says, it's so good, and if possible, Stephen King may have a good way to address Brian's issues concerning time travel, though I am curious to see if the story addresses certain events that take place when the past alluded to by Chris Cooper is basically an entity slash character in the story. It's hard to explain why that is. But anyway, gets upset with those trying to change history. Anyway, cheers, Rob. I'm very curious what Brian would think about. Every time there's a time travel thing, I do think of you, because I think you just have a particular take on time travel that I totally agree with.
I'm a time travel snob, really, is what you want to say. Kind of,
but I wouldn't even say snob. You're just like a... I don't know. You're like this grassroots, like, reminder. You're like a statue I can't ignore.
It goes back. You know what it goes back to? Mm. There was an early episode of Cosmos with Carl Sagan where he talked about the time travel paradox and actually showed a video, like, you know, recreation, enactment of somebody traveling back in time and shooting their grandfather and then disappearing. Yeah. And then so, but if he disappears, he never creates the time machine and he never goes back and kills his grandfather, who'd still be alive. But then if he's alive, and ever since then, it's like, I love that theory and I will
take it to your grave,
respect it and honor it for the rest of my life. Okay. Exactly.
All right. I like it. Carl Sagan, look at the imprint you made.
He really did. Yeah.
He was a big deal for me too. Mm. Hello, Studs and Bricks says, yo, the yo-yo. Another J. Martin says yo the yo-yo. I didn't scroll down enough. Hey, Studs and Bricks. I'm not worried at all about the new Lego Star Wars series at all. In fact, I'm looking forward to it. In case you guys didn't hear about it, Lego Star Wars Droid Tales is hilarious. I have not heard of that. Have you heard of Droid Tales, Brian? I haven't heard of that.
Lego Star Wars Droid Tales.
Says C-3PO is the main character, voiced by Anthony Daniels himself, retelling the stories of the first 6 movies. There are only 5 episodes. The first episode goes through the Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones, so it is not a huge time commitment. They also they make a lot of good-natured fun at the movies and are very self-aware. If the series is anything like that one, it should be great. I will have to check that out. Is that a thing I can get easily somewhere, I wonder? Let's see. Droid Tales.
Another J. Martin just changed his name in the tadpole to Yo the Yo-Yo. Nice. Good. See what you've caused? Great.
Oops. Okay, let's see. Droid Tales, 2015, actually. So this is... How have I not even heard of this? Okay, let's look at the trailer for that. Real quick here.
The Jedi have returned, and the Rebel Alliance has destroyed the dreaded Death Star. Again.
We are the bosses of blowing up Death Stars!
After a well-earned party, some of the victorious rebels set off to embark on a new beginning. But Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, and Han Solo want to hear the thrilling tale of how the conflict all began.
The taxation of trade routes to outlying star systems was in dis...
They're all sleeping.
Perhaps I should fast forward.
Now, for the first time on television...
Nice. It's funny because the announcer sounds like somewhere between Ted Baxter and someone who's doing one of the Star Wars toy commercials.
Big time.
Now you can recreate your favorite battles from all the Star Wars movies.
It seems like it might be very intentional, actually.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm all in on this. Maybe I am excited. If it's this funny, that looks very funny. I'll watch that. Thanks, another J. Martin. All those other J. Martins, I don't know nothing. You're the real J. Martin. Please stand up. All right, that's it for the show today. If you do want to hear Tom Merritt, he'll be on the Daily Tech News Show today at 2:00 or 2:30 p.m. Mountain Time. I will be there. We have a special guest with us as well. Aaron, I forgot her last name.
Crap. Burr.
Awesome. No, Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr will be on the show. We've dug him up and reconstituted his brain.
We had a trivia question about Aaron Burr last night in our Geeks Who Drink round, and it brought up the memory of that great commercial, of course, the Got Milk commercial, mm-hmm. With the guy eating the peanut butter sandwich just as the radio station calls him, and he's a big Hamilton and Aaron Burr historian.
Mm. It was a good time.
Do you remember that commercial?
I do, vaguely.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I can answer this, and he goes to reach for his thing of milk, and it's empty. But as soon as I thought of that commercial, I thought, oh my gosh, it's Frogert from Lost. The same actor who played Frogert is the guy from that commercial.
Wow. Everything comes together.
All roads lead to Froger.
It's all one circle. If you do, you get a free Froger. All right. So thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll have that later with Tom, and so watch that. And also, something else today is going on. What was it?
Oh, did you ever figure out the Aaron, by the way?
The Aaron? I still don't know the name.
That I've completely derailed.
I forgot entirely. You know what? I'm going to look it up right now. It's Aaron. Oh, here it is. It's an email I have, and it's Aaron... Carson, Erin Carson, everybody. Very smart lady, and it's going to be awesome. Can't wait to see her and him and me. So that's later. Today, 2:30, Mountain Time, dailytechnewsshow.com. Patreon.com/TMS is where you can support us, be part of our exclusive Slack, and help this show be awesome. And that includes the Thursday extra episode we do called TMS PM. Mm-hmm. Frogpants.com/TMS links to everything, including our email address, themorningstream@gmail.com. Our phone number to leave voicemails, 801-471-0462. We'll have some of those tomorrow. On Twitter, @MorningStream, @ScottJohnson, @Coverville. Tomorrow's a Wendy day, so we'll get Wendy, my sister, the therapist, in to talk about whatnot and who's its.
Everyone knows it's Wendy.
Wendy with an I, and she hates it. That's it. Brian, let's go. Do you have music? You have music.
I do. I was just singing it. Do we need more than that?
No. Okay. I mean, yes.
All right, then see if... No. Oh, okay. More? All right. Okay. Nick wrote in. Thank goodness for Nick writing in and saving us, because I would have just left with that song.
Yeah.
On February 17th, my nephew Alex celebrates a quarter century on Earth. Alex introduced me to TMS when he gave me a print of Scott's drawing of various sci-fi characters for Christmas in 2014. I've been listening ever since and finally got around to supporting TMS on TMS on Patreon in January.
Nice.
Thank you, by the way, for supporting us.
Thank
we love you.
Yes.
Alex and I got to see Typo Negative in concert in Cincinnati a few months before the lead singer's untimely death. So if you could play a cover of or by Typo Negative, that would be awesome. Or if not, maybe you could ask me how many languages I speak.
Oh, they want... Now we're going to be doing this. How many... Okay, I see. I see.
How many languages do you speak?
They're a little harder to find, but that's fine. That's fine.
I love that people now request a song and a soundbite.
Yeah, I like it. No, you know what? If they want to do that, I'm fine with them shaking it up that way. Like, if you want to say, I haven't heard the Scooters Ladies in a while, or that's all fine. It just know that it takes me a sec, because I don't have them all at my fingertips.
All right, so a cover by Typo Negative. They've done a bunch of great covers, and this was the one that jumped out to me. This one they included on their 1996 album, October Rust, which maybe you've been to play on Rust Never Sleeps. Neil Young is the person being covered here. Of course, it's the song Cinnamon Girl, right here by Typo Negative.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
You snuck the little people out of the mud slack.
Oh.